things we learn when we study with our teachers is your beginning and your end. And when you understand your beginning and your end, you understand the purpose of life.
It appears that Philly is in the house, though. Mashallah. Mashallah. So I want to take this opportunity to introduce our next speaker. He's Sheikh Amin Muhammad. Sheikh Amin is a native of Atlantic City, New Jersey, who has studied with scholars in Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Syria, and Lebanon, covering the sciences of belief, ritual, and interactional law, Quranic explanation, the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Presently, Imam Amin is the imam and teacher at Masjid Muhammad in Atlantic City, New Jersey, as well as at the Mecca Center in Manhattan. Today, Imam Amin will be speaking about the importance of learning with humility from a qualified teacher. There is a big difference between sacred knowledge and simply information. We may memorize a lot of facts, but have we understood them? How the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood him and his companions radiyallahu anhum. Are we practicing the way our pious predecessors did? This is the importance of the teacher. And with that, Sheikh Amin, inshallah, if you'll please join us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Is the voice clear? Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يجعل نياتنا خالصة لوجهه الكريم اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. It's an honor, mashallah, to be here with you. And please excuse the big cup of coffee because I've been thinking about you all night. I didn't sleep. Really, because I think this gathering will be a very beneficial gathering. And almost for the last year, myself and Sidi Sheikh Yahya, inshallah, who will be coming soon, we've been traveling all over the country, really trying to revive the sacred sciences and our traditional Islamic study and knowledge, which, to be honest with you, is missing, not only in our country, but in the world. So it needs that tajdeed, you know, it needs that revival, that renewal, insha'Allah ta'ala. So as the subject is to talk about the importance of knowledge and how to acquire Islamic knowledge, so I want to touch on several matters. But before we do that, let us first all clear our minds, right? And I want us to think about two things as we go forward, because knowledge will never be beneficial to you until you understand, really, really understand two matters, al-bidaya wa al-nihaya, the beginning and the end. If you don't understand these very well, what is in between won't benefit you. So I want us to all, for a minute, put our heads down, lower our eyes, open our hearts, and I want you, just for a second, to think about your beginning. And Dr. Shadi, he gave me a little license to move, so this is going to be quite interactive, inshallah. I think we all will benefit. But I want you to take a second, put your head down for 30 seconds. And I want you to come up in your mind and try to reach into your heart and figure out what is your beginning. Let's do that, inshallah. Khair. So that was the beginning. Now, I want to take the same 30 seconds, inshallah, with the same concentration, and I want you to tell me or think about your end. So we talked about al-bidayah. Now I want al-nihaya. Inshallah. Accepting? That's your beginning? Okay.
Actually, I thought about when I first started coming towards Islam. I did the same exact thing. I went into a park. I meditated by myself. And I mentally went into the past, came back to the present, and projected myself into the future as to what it is that
Mashallah. Tell you. Okay. It's a reason why I mentioned this. Because when one of the first things we learn when we study with our teachers is your beginning and your end. And when you understand your beginning and your end, you understand the purpose of life. But so then when you learn knowledge, when you practice knowledge, when you taste knowledge, and write those things, learning, practicing, tasting. There's a big difference between the three, right? You'll understand why you're doing it. So I'll share the beginning and the end that we all should strive for, and anything other than that is in between, right? The beginning is Allah. The end is Allah. Y'all follow that? Because you always told, do it for the sake of Allah, right? You know why we always do it for other than the sake of Allah sometimes? Because we don't understand our beginning and end. Your beginning, everything, its beginning is with Allah. And its ending is with Allah. So the ultimate goal of paradise is not paradise itself. So anyone who just does everything so I can go to paradise has missed the mark. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to be with Allah. And then truly, when you're with Allah, there is no ending. And when you're with Allah, there is no beginning. So now we want to deal with what's in between. And how do we benefit on everything in between? So knowledge is what the subject matter is about. What is knowledge? I don't want you to just say knowledge in general, al-ilm, knowledge. I want you to say al-ilm al-nafi'a. Beneficial knowledge. Because we're not just seeking knowledge, we're seeking beneficial knowledge. If you notice when I opened, I said a little small dua for us. I said, Allahumma allamna ma yanfa'una wanfa'na bima allamtana. I said, oh Allah, teach us that which would benefit us. Not only that, and cause us to benefit from that which you have taught us. So this whole session, anytime you learn, you want something that is beneficial. If it's not beneficial knowledge, then it's truly a waste of time. So I'm trying to put it a direction. So what is the real beneficial knowledge? Is that knowledge which is going to lead you to Allah from where you came. That's beneficial knowledge. And all of the religious knowledge started with Allah and it should end with Allah. It should lead you to ma'rifa, to realization of Allah. And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, one of the pre-Islamic poets in the time of ignorance, he said about one of them, he said the most truthful thing that he ever said was everything other than Allah is false. And we have in the names of Allah, Allah tells us in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah has the most beautiful names, so call him by them. And one of the names of Allah is Al-Haq, the reality, the truth. So everything other than Allah is truly false. And when you understand that, then you'll never get caught up, never get trapped in other than Allah. And then once you attach to Allah, you have real knowledge, real ma'rifah, then all the practice, all the tasting becomes easy. So whenever you have difficulty in practicing, in doing things, in being a good person, in being a good Muslim, in seeking knowledge, in being kind to others, know your connection with Allah is cut. But when you get that connection with Allah, then knowledge now has become all benefit. So we're tracking this course, beginning and end. Now we're going to talk about what is in the middle. Why knowledge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran why we were created. He said, وَمَا قَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I only created humans and jinn to order them with my worship. So there's the purpose. And Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, what is meant by illa liya'budun, illa liya'rifun, except to know. To know Allah. That's really why you're created. That's your purpose in life. And you should strive solely for that. Now that's deep, right? I want you to think of one of the great scholars. His name was Ahmed ibn Hanbal. And there is another pious, his name was Dunun al-Misri. May Allah be pleased with both of them. They said something about Allah that I want you to think about, because this way the screen is going to go blank. Whenever you think about Allah, I want the screen to go blank. What do I mean, the screen to go blank? There is no images. There is only realization. Dunun al-Misri, he said, مَهْمَا تَصَوَرْتَ بِبَالِكَ فَاللَّهُ بِخِلَافِ ذَلِكَ. Whatever you imagine in your mind, Allah is completely different from that. So your beginning is with Allah, your end is with Allah, and there is no room for your imagination in that realm. That is when you have to taste the religion. Not practice, not learn, but taste it. It's a big difference. And that tasting, when you ever get it, really, then you have received all you need in this religion. When you're no longer in the realm of forms and words and images and imaginations, but you're in the realm of reality. There's a big difference. And I just want you to put your direction towards that. So now we know what our beginning, what our ending is, what is the purpose we're here for, right? Now, how do we fulfill that purpose? Because we're not here for nothing, so we have something to do. So that is why we're going to learn this beneficial knowledge, so that we will fulfill the purpose of our existence here on the earth. Not only that, our existence in every other realm that the sacred law told us about that we may not perceive right now with our senses, right? Because we're on a journey. Someone mentioned the beginning was in paradise, right? So that's a journey to get back to a location. But getting back to the location, we said, is not just for the location itself. There's a purpose for getting back to that location. So that's in between. Let's take knowledge. To get there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran that He commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with one thing. It shows you how important that thing is. Of all the things to seek an increase of it, get more. There's one thing in the Quran. Allah said, وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. The knowledge is going to teach you what you to do to get the pure heart. And that's what Allah told us the job of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to be. He's going to teach us the book and He's going to purify us. We're going to learn and then we're going to become purified. So we think about this value of knowledge. To learn it, there's going to be an increase. Then Allah told us in another verse that the way we're going to have complete reverence and obedience and a closeness to Him is through being knowledgeable people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَقْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Verily, absolutely, only the ones who really have fear and reverence, really, which is piety, are those who are knowledgeable, learned people. So there's a value in the knowledge. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in his statement, he said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيدَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Seeking the knowledge of the religion is an obligation on every Muslim. Our teachers told us, the hadith seems general, seeking knowledge, because that's how you're translated, is an obligation on every Muslim, right? But he said, no, there is a specific knowledge that's meant here. And we know it by Allah saying, ala kulli Muslim. I mean, by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, ala kulli Muslim. By it being an obligation of every Muslim. Because every Muslim doesn't have the ability to learn everything. That means there is a certain portion of the knowledge that you must know. And they call that knowledge that you need to know immediately in your current condition. What you need to know in your current state. So an important thing about knowledge is not to seek knowledge that is not necessary for your existence now. That's very important. What am I doing right now? What do I need to do right now to maintain that connection with Allah? And that is going to be a priority in knowledge. Now, let me give you what you need to know right now. What do you need to know right now, especially converts? And even don't think because you're a convert that your situation is so much different than a person who's been Muslim all their life. And I should tell you this. It is just my belief that the converts are going to be the ones that save this religion. I believe it is the converts that are going to be the ones who save our deen. What do you need? You need three basic knowledges. The first one, you need the knowledge of tenets of faith that will help you know Allah. You need the knowledge of what you're supposed to believe. That knowledge will help you know Allah. The beginning of all this matters. You need to know that. What am I supposed to believe as a Muslim? Right? That's important. Because the belief, if it is firm and it is established, then you'll make your connection with Allah. If it is firm. And that's why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked, which knowledge is the best, the most superior? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, al-imanu la shakka fi. Belief, faith that has no doubt in it. And this is a very important aspect of our deen. You need to have faith that is not shaky. Faith that is firm. You ever think of mountains? Big mountains. Do you notice those mountains don't crumble? But when they run into something that is unshakable itself, has no doubt in it, even the mountains will crumble. And that's what Allah told us about the Quran. That if it was revealed on a mountain, we'll see the mountain crumble. Because the Quran, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. It is the book that has no doubt in it. It's the Quran. And had it been revealed on a mountain, the mountain would crumble and burst asunder. Your faith needs to be unshakable. Your faith has to have no doubt. And truly, that is the only believer. And you must say that about yourself. That my belief is not real belief until it is unshakable. It has no doubt in it. When you say, La ilaha illallah, no one deserves to be worshipped except Allah, everything else goes away. Only Allah exists. And everything else in existence as a result of Allah. That's very important. Now, so you give the faith. That's your first thing you need to learn. The second thing you need to learn is how to serve Allah. And that is going to be the practical application of your faith. So you got the knowledge. Now you need the practice. And that is going to be the rules or the rules of Islamic jurisprudence, which we call ilm al-fiqh. That in a way you're going to learn what is your personal responsibility to Allah, what we call ibadat, acts of worship, like fasting, like prayer, like hajj, like charity, like purification, because that's your personal relationship with Allah. And you must take care of that. And remember, you yourself must be trying your best to be in the way Allah wants you to be. That means within yourself, you need to be one. So even though we want community, we want friends, we want sisters and brothers and teachers, but the reality is we have to have a faith that if everything else was gone, it was just me, I would still stand on La ilaha illallah. Right? Because the one who has that, they've realized the Quran where Allah said, "Wa huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum." He's with you wherever you may be. You're never alone. You always have Allah. That's a reality. Imagine you pray. When you pray, everything goes away except Allah. Because that's the reality you're supposed to pray. You're supposed to pray, and there is an intimate conversation between you and God where no one else intervenes in that. But doesn't the creation always intervene in our life in every matter? So every matter throughout the day, we're being disconnected. Disconnected by my job, disconnected by my children, disconnected by my friends, disconnected by the iPhone, the iPad, disconnection all the time. And the prayer is that connection all the time. But that prayer needs to be a prayer that's between you and Allah. Not only the prayer, but your fasting, your charity, your pilgrimage. Even when you purify yourself, that's a connection between you and Allah. Then, since we're not on the earth by ourselves, we have to deal with the creation, right? So we need rules relating on how we deal with each other, mu'amalat. How we deal with others, buying, selling. We marry, we divorce. People have rights. So we must realize the rights of others and how we interact as others, not as we like, but as Allah commanded. That's how we do it. So we need rules that relate to that. And then sometimes we as human beings, we forget. So we need to be reminded. And that's the aspect of the sacred law where it comes in crimes and punishments. When you forget, the sacred law is there to remind you. Why is it reminding you? Is it reminding to hurt you? No, it is reminding you to remember your beginning to help you make it to your end, which is with Allah. So that's the jurisprudence. But not only that, because that's dealing with your outward body, right? That's dealing with the creation, that's everything outside. But the human being is not just a body, but rather the human being is a body, a self, a spirit, a soul, and an ultimate secret. So there's other components of the human being. What about that inward state? There's where you're going to need knowledge of how to purify yourself. What do I mean purify yourself? Not by washing with water. I mean to adorn yourself with praiseworthy characteristics and remove from yourself blameworthy ones. Because when we speak of someone as a bad person, we're usually not talking about outward aspects of them. We're not talking about what they did physically to us. We're talking about states inside, usually. That one is arrogant, that one is mean, that one gets angry, this one is, you know, stingy. These are qualities in the inside that need to be exchanged for positive qualities. So you may hear the term at-tasawwuf or Sufism. The reality of Sufism is that purifying you so that you can make it to your end properly. Removing every blameworthy characteristic and acquiring every praiseworthy characteristic. That's tasawwuf. That's Sufism. Sufism, not dancing, singing, though you may have these aspects, but that's not the reality of it. Actually, those are the result of being pure, and then you're going to be so happy with your Lord. There's you're going to come in to rejoicing in the favor. Doesn't it feel good when you inside you're really happy? What do happy people do? Happy people, they move, they rejoice. That's what happy people do. Y'all saw the videos they were making, the happy Muslim? Y'all didn't see those videos? It was all over the internet, and happy Muslims in Sudan, happy Muslims in UK, happy Muslims in the. Really, what is happy? Because everybody want to be happy. Even when they was laying out the constitutions, you have the right to the pursuit of happiness. You know what happiness is in Arabic? It's called as-sa'ada. That's happiness. But we don't want temporary happiness. We want as-sa'ada tul-abadiyya, everlasting happiness. And that can only be with Allah because he's the only one who's everlasting. And everything that has everlastingness is because Allah willed for it to have it. In and of itself, since it has a beginning, it can intellectually have an end. But Allah, since he's a necessary existent, that happiness is always with Allah. And that's why the reality in paradise is to get the ridwan of Allah, to get the pleasure of Allah. That Allah is pleased with you, and you are pleased with him. And that's how the Quran describes the soul when it is purified, when it is clean, when it removed all those blameworthy attributes and has praiseworthy attributes. Allah says, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyah. Oh, you tranquil soul, content, you're happy. Return to your Lord, pleased and well pleased. Pleasing and well pleased. You're happy, Allah is happy with you. That's the end result. That's what we want. So all the Islamic sciences that we learn, we need to learn them with the remembering our beginning and our end, because they're in between. So why am I learning Aqidah? Am I learning Aqidah to go argue with someone? No. I'm learning Aqidah. I'm learning tenets of faith so that I can know my Lord. What he wants me to have as an inward state. And why I pray? Do I pray so I can get to paradise? No. That's a result and that's a reward of the prayer. But the reason I pray, because I want to please my Lord. The reason I fast, because I want to please my Lord. Why do I marry? Do I marry because, oh, he's so handsome and she's so pretty? Of course not. Though that may be a reason, a secondary reason, but the real reason, because I want this person to help me together to reach Allah. I want a relationship with Allah. And we forget that. Why I have friends? I have friends that's going to help me know Allah. I want a friend that when I see them, I remember Allah. I have a friend sitting in the front row. Every time I see him, I remember Allah. I remember happy people every time I see him. I look at him, I see happy people. And you know who real happy people are? They're the awliya of Allah. These are the righteous servants of Allah. Allah described them in the Quran. Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. That these righteous people, they have no fear nor no grief. That's happiness when you have no fear and no grief. You're never sad and you don't have nothing to worry about. Imagine being in that state. No fear, no grief. And not only that, when you're in that state, Allah fights your battles for you. Because, you know, we always lose our own battles, right? In life, we lose all the time. Sometimes we get help and still lose. But if we are pious people, we become righteous servants, which we call in Arabic awliya, a wali or a waliya. And we should be striving for that rank. Why? Because the Prophet said that Allah said, notice it goes to Allah, talks about many, Allah, man adali waliyan faqad adhantuhu bil harb. Whoever has any enmity, any hostility, any bad feelings to someone as a righteous servant of mine, I declare war on them. Allah fight your battles. That's why they don't have nothing to worry about. No fear, no grief. Allah is with me. And we pray and we know Allah. We say all the time, Allahu Akbar. Really, Allahu Akbar min kulli shay'in fil wujud. Everything in existence, Allah is greater than that. Why one would? That's. Now imagine as a convert, you embrace Islam and all of your matters is based on that. Subhanallah. Imagine what you will be like as a believer. I think it was last week. Time goes fast for me. I think it was last week or the week before. I had a talk that I did in Rutgers, Newark with Malcolm X's daughter. And when we were, before we went on the talk in front of the people, we were in a room by ourselves, you know, with a few other people. And she said something to me, because her father was a convert, right? She said, my father, he wanted everybody in the world to become a Muslim. That was his goal. I thought about that. You know, the convert usually is the one who only experiences that feeling initially. When you become a Muslim, that great feeling, you're on fire. And that, your faith is, whew, when they say through the roof, right? And I know 37 years later from the time I convert, it's hard to maintain that. So you got to take advantage of it right now while you got it. And that's why I said you can change the world. You can save the religion. Because as you get disconnected from that beginning, your beginning of Islam, you start to lose sight of what you did. Why did you become a Muslim? Why did you do this? Because you get engaged with so many other things. But I'm challenging you, never forget your beginning. And you never will forget your beginning if you don't forget your end as well. And at both ends of the scale, you're going to have Allah. And never lose that. Finally, because I think I'm out of time. Question? Okay, I have a lot of things in my mind I want to give to you. But we don't have. Maybe we'll get them in the questions. So we got what we need. We got belief. We got practice. Al-fiqh, what they call, right? And then we got spirituality, which is going to lead to tasting. Once you clean, you'll taste. Right? That's what the Prophet told us. Qad dhaqa halawat al-iman. Qad dhaqa. That person has tasted the sweetness. Faith has a halawa. It has a sweetness. Sweeter than honey, sweeter than sugar, sweeter than love. When you connect it to Allah, that's it. Faith has a sweetness. One of the great scholars, during Ramadan, he didn't recite the Quran in the daytime. You know, everyone in Ramadan want to do a 30th for the Quran. So I asked him, why you don't recite the Quran in the daytime? It's a month of tilawatul Quran. He said, because when I recite the Quran, I get the taste of honey in my mouth. And I'm afraid to break my fast. He said, I get the taste of honey in my mouth. The sister mentioned something, and I think we forget about it. Do anyone remember what the sister right here said her beginning was? The word of the souls. She said, Alam al-Arwa. That's what I thought. Right? That's a real world. I could tell you a story. I don't have, but I'll share. I'll give you an indication. There was this woman. She was from Khorasan, the wars of Iraq, Iran, those in the old days. And her husband, and this was related by Imam al-Hakim, a favorite scholar of hadith. He related her story. Her name was Rahma bint Ibrahim. The women should remember. Rahma bint Ibrahim. Her name was Rahma, the daughter of Ibrahim. You know, her husband died as a martyr. It's a long story, several pages. But the point I want to mention in this story, she was depressed and she was sad. Right? Her husband is gone. They bring in all these bodies back and no husband. So she went and fell in sujood in salah. She went to pray and she fell asleep in sujood. She had a dream. Now the dreams of pious people have reality. And in that dream, she came through several circles, and one was the circles of the martyrs of that battle where her husband died. And she came to that circle, and he said, this is my wife, Rahma. Can I give her some from our food? I said, okay. He gave her some of that food. And she ate that food in the dream. When she woke from that dream, out of that prayer, she never was needing food or drink ever again. This is from the world of the souls. Maybe one day you'll learn this story in Tibet. And when I mentioned who mentioned it, this great imam called Al-Hakim, he has a famous book called Al-Mustadrak ala Sahihain. Right? It's a book which he got the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim that were of the level of authentic that they didn't mention in their books. He was a great, great scholar of hadith. And he related this story, but it's from Alam al-Wahid, where she got that taste. Once she tastes from that spiritual world, she didn't need the taste in the physical world. These are realities. They're realities. Don't disconnect the physical with the spiritual, because one of the greatest miracles that we know in the physical realm from the Prophet ﷺ is Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, right? And we celebrate that and we talk about it. But that ascension, that Mi'raj, should be in Salah for us every day. That the Salah for the believer should be a Mi'raj, up and down the heavens. When we taste the religion, that becomes a reality. Because unfortunately, the reality of the religion was taken out. So we just have a shell, a body, a bunch of rules, haram police, and no soul. No soul. And when someone takes out spirituality in religion, they're taking out the soul of the religion. And we need to put that soul back in. Because the body without a soul is just a hollow, dull object. But when that soul in, there comes life. When soul is in your religion, the spirit is in, you have a life. And believe me, that is the real reality of all your practice of religion. Last thing, and I'm going to end my part of it. Okay, we talked about how we got our start, where's our direction, where our end, what we need to do to get there. Now, how do you obtain that? And this is very important, because none of us are born knowledgeable, right? That means we have to learn. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Innama ilmu bit-ta'allum." Knowledge is acquired by an active process of learning from teacher, student, teacher. That type of relationship between a teacher and a student is a must. And our religion, Islam, it is the only religion that is protected by that relationship of teacher, student. One of the first things that we learn, actually the first lesson I learned with my teachers when I started studying, they put it in this word. He said to me, "Kalimatu la a'lam nisfu ad-deen." He said, the word "I don't know" is half the religion. So when you come into Islam, empty your cup, please. The reasons why many times we learn, we become Muslim, and we still don't change, because when we come, our cup is full. We come into the religion already saying, "I know something." And you notice a thing I started when I started. One of the open things I said, I made a dua. I said, "Oh Allah, we have no knowledge except that which you have taught us. We have no knowledge." This is what the angel said. "We have no knowledge except what you have taught us." That's humility. And that's an attribute of the heart, that to say, "I don't know" in its proper place. And there's a cure for that, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, "Fas'alu ahli dhikr in kuntum la ta'lamun." Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So this is an important aspect. Knowledge in and of itself will produce nothing. In other words, knowledge without certain things connected to it is just information that will not transform. Right? Imam al-Ghazali, one of the famous scholars of Islam, they call him Hujjat al-Islam, the proof of Islam. He always speaks in his books, a lot of, especially in the Ihya, about evil scholars, evil learned people. They have knowledge, but it doesn't benefit. He called them ulama usul, bad scholars. Bad. They have knowledge. But for knowledge to transform, you need three matters. And we need beneficial knowledge. For that knowledge to be a transformative knowledge, you need three matters. Number one, you need sources and evidences. sources and evidences. That means, from where do we learn knowledge? Where do we get it from? And we said beneficial knowledge. And our primary sources for beneficial knowledge in the whole world is Al-Quran wa Sunnah. The Quran as a primary source, the Quran and the Sunnah. Now, they said the one who is traveling, a wayfarer to God, to Allah, is never a true wayfarer until they can find in the Quran everything they need. So if you have to go somewhere else and it's not connected to Quran, then no, you're not really reaching your Lord. Even if you use other things, its source should be in the Quran. My sheikh told me one story. I laughed when he told me this. He said, he told me a story, and I'll get this quick. He said, one sheikh told a man, he said, everything you need is in the Quran. Everything. There's nothing you need except that is in the Quran. So the man said to him, not everything's in the Quran. He said, okay, show me how to bake a cake in the Quran. He said, easy, no problem. He grabbed him by the hand. He walked him to the bakery. He went to the bakery. He said, tell me, how do you make a cake? He said, you do this. He said, there it is. He said, I told you to show me in the Quran how to bake a cake. You went to the bakery and to the baker. He said, because the Quran told us, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. I learned how to bake a cake from the Quran. You follow? So you need to know your sources and your proofs. So he gave him a source, the Quran, and then he gave him a proof, a verse of the Quran, how to bake a cake. Second thing. You need a manhaj of how to extract. You need a methodology and how to extract from the Quran and Sunnah. So just having the Quran and Sunnah is not sufficient. You need to know how to extract rulings and understandings from the Quran and the Sunnah. That's very important. And there needs to be a methodology to do that. It's not a haphazard practice, right? Because the one who doesn't have a methodology how to deduce rules from the Quran will come up with amazing things. Amazing things. Because it's going to use your opinion, right? I think. Isn't that? I think I read the Quran and have an I think session. Read the Quran, I think what you think, what you think, what you think, right? And look what Imam Ali, Ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, and I'm going to start, I got to get to the end of this. Ali Ibn Abi Talib, he said something. How the Prophet described Ali Ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu? He said, Ana madinatul ilm wa Ali babuha. I am the city of knowledge and Ali is his gate. That means you don't go in the city except you go through the gate, right? He said, if religion was by opinion, I would wipe the bottom of the sock instead of the top. But since religion ain't by opinion, I wipe the top. So if it's just I think I walk on the ground, so I should wipe the bottom. But the religion said wipe the top. So I think doesn't solve it. That's one aspect. So you need a way to extract. And lastly, very important, you need someone with the ability and divine gifts from Allah to understand that. This is a reality. Not everyone has the same intellectual capacity. We've met among our teachers some people with minds that will blow you away. Just amazing. That's their capacity. Everyone is not able to extract rulings. Everyone is not at the level to be a scholar. I give you an example. One of the things that we have, and I'll stop with this. We have people that say, I want your proof. Give me the proof. You give him the verse. Give me a proof. I say, Tahir, proof. And then if you ask this person, what type of proof do you want? From where you get the proof? Why is it a proof? And what is the status of that proof? And it confused quickly. It's very important to understand that not everyone has the ability to understand every level of knowledge. And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, speak to people according to the level of their intellects. And that's important. Those three things, inshallah, will help you, inshallah, in the question and answers. If we get a chance, we'll go forward. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad and wa'ali wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Takbir. So, Sheikh Amin is not off the hook yet. He's going to stick around for a few more minutes to take any questions that the audience might have. So this is your opportunity. Raise your hand. There's a mic that will be passed around. And inshallah, you can ask your questions and fulfill that first of the last 3 points, which is ask those who know when you don't know. So, anyone?
Go ahead. Got the microphone? She's right here. Right here. If you mean by that, we started from Allah, then we'll return back to Allah, I understand that. Yes, if you mean by that our matter started with Allah and it just goes full circle right back to Allah. If you mean by that, yes. If you meant that, no need to go into the other meaning. There is other meanings, but you may not intend that, so need to open a door that you didn't intend. Can I share something with you? Just comment on what he said. One of my teachers, he used to say, and I like tweak this. He's, you know, he said, I know nothing. He always say, I know nothing. He know more than most people I've ever met, but he always say, I don't know anything. And I realized something from that. And we should all take from that, that I've learned enough to know that I don't know anything. I've learned enough to know I don't know anything. You know, and I think that, yeah, you start to realize that knowledge is a journey that never stops. Never stops. And they say the student, and you should write this as a golden rule for your forever for you. A student is not a student until they learn from those who know more than them, those who know equal to them, and those who know less than them. So if you ever see a student who say, I don't learn from this one because I know more, that's not a real student. That's not a real student. Go ahead. Well, let me say that. I got two ways. It was really in that second when I said knowing how to extract rules and then having the ability. Write this down. I think they say the way you tie knowledge is by writing. تَقْيِدُ الْعِلْمِ بِالْكِتَابَةِ. You should get in the habit of writing, like really. So you don't lose your stuff. You know, all of us don't have good memories. Imam Shafi can sit down and memorize everything in one session. I'm not like Imam Shafi. There's a science in our religion called Al-Isnad. I spell it. A-L-I-S-N-A-D. This is one of the most important things you can take after all what I've mentioned. It's called Al-Isnad, which is a chain of transmission. Our religion, Islam, is connected by an unbroken succession of teacher to teacher to teacher to teacher, back to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, back to Jibril, back to Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala, back to the beginning. Unbroken. Whenever you want to learn your religion, seek from a person who is knowledgeable, pious, and practicing. By pious, I mean practicing, that has a chain. Any teacher of Islamic knowledge, traditional, true, classical knowledge, must have a chain. That means for myself, I can name, as Sheikh Yahya and every other teacher, my teacher, to his teacher, to his teacher, to his teacher, all the way to the Prophet, to Jibril, to Allah. If the teacher cannot produce that, that person is not qualified to teach. Though they may have knowledge, there's a difference from knowledge and information and trustworthy knowledge and information. Right? So, if you just use that scale, you're going to move out a lot of quacks. If you use that scale alone, Because when you go to the doctor, one of the first things you're going to look when you're in there, where's his certificate? Who said that this doctor knows what he's doing? Well, the same thing in a religion. One of the great scholars, Muhammad ibn Sirin, he said, "Inna hadha ilm dina, fanduru amman ta'khuduna dinakum." Verily, this knowledge you're learning is the religion. So look well from whom you take your religion. And the other statement, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he said, "Al-isnadu min ad-din walau la isnad laqala man sha'a ma sha'a." That this connection, chain of transmission is a part of the religion. And if it ain't for that, then anyone say about the religion whatever they want. Anytime you find a person that's missing that, you'll find more their mistakes will be more than their correct matters. So look for that. And don't be shy to say to the teacher, "I want to make sure my religion is in a trustworthy chain transmission of teachers. Please tell me your connection to the Prophet." And that is in every field of learning. So we said aqidah, right? Belief. They should have a chain in belief. They should have a chain in jurisprudence. They should have a chain in spirituality, a chain in hadith, a chain in Quran, a chain in Arabic language. And if they're missing that, then even if they're knowledgeable, their knowledge is not trustworthy knowledge. So that chain right there, and why is it protection? Because at every level of the chain, when you know the people of the chain, you get to see that they had some consistency in their practice, consistency in their understanding. Because sometimes you have a person without that chain, how do you know he's not making something up? Where's the checks and balances? So if I make a mistake, right, and since I'm not born knowledgeable, I had to learn from someone, right? So maybe you could check with my teacher, or you could check with his, at that, you're going to find that mistake. But if it's just me, who's to make sure I didn't make a mistake, right? That's our religion, inshallah. So that's one way. Go ahead. Go ahead. Somebody had a question? Why they could sit down? So a good way to do that, the best way to do that, is to go to a living teacher. Do not learn Islam from the internet. Do not learn Islam from social media, Facebook, or Twitter. Go to a living teacher. Because you need to see Islam practice. Right? One of the great scholars, he was traveling to visit a teacher. He heard he was a great teacher. And he went, and when the teacher came out, he spat on the side of the mosque, on towards the wall. And that teacher turned around and left. He said, "How can someone be trusted with the knowledge of the sacred law who's not careful to observe the courtesies of the law?" So you need a living teacher who practices what they preach. So in that way, by sitting with a living teacher, many things would be open for you that you'll never get through the computer. So like you have at MBIC, you have Dr. Shadi. These are living teachers who sat with living teachers, right? And usually the teacher is not even half of his teacher. And as it goes closer to the Prophet, you'll see there was much more piety. But a living teacher, because you're going to see not only knowledge, but you'll see practice and you'll see state. How to be a Muslim, that's very important, right? Because the media, unfortunately, is not fair to Islam.
We have a question here from the live how can we learn about the prophet? Can you give, for example, any recommended readings? How can you learn about the life of the prophet?
There are many books that talk about the life of the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One good book that I like, and it was a book that I spent years with my teacher learning, is the prophetic biography, according to Islamic jurisprudence, by Sheikh Muhammad Ramadan, Sayyid Ramadan al-Buti. It's translated in English. What is good about that book, it takes stories from the life of the prophet and then, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then gives you principles and lessons how to apply it from a living great scholar. And there are many other bigger works, but I would suggest if you grab anything from this, from what I'm saying, is even if you get that book, I studied that book about 4 years with my teacher. 4 years reading that book with him. And that we get to really live and see how the prophet was. And a lot of times we learn stuff from just being with the teacher that we saw in the book we didn't understand, but we watched and we saw it come alive. That's very important. The prophetic biography, according to Islamic jurisprudence, Fiqh Sirah Nabawiyah. Jurisprudence of the prophetic biography. Nancy Roberts is the translator. Nancy Roberts. Wait, the translator. You didn't see our new practice. Oh, no. No, no joke. Yeah, inshallah. But I would suggest, can we revive this? Can we make a get a hand commitment? Raise up hand. Raise your hands. Say yes. Don't worry, trust me. Raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Say I'm committed. Right? You're not in, you don't trust me? No. That we're going to revive traditional learning. Raise your hand. Traditional learning is no book without a teacher. That means I'm not going to live off Amazon in the bookstore. If I got a book, I'm going to read that book with a teacher. Can we get a commitment? Shadi, you got a lot of fans. You can start reading some books, Habibi. No, really. Really, I make it a habit that I read on my own. I read a lot. But even if I read on my own, I don't start till I'm going to somebody and what about this? Let's read these books. And then you'll make sessions of knowledge. All of our books that we learn them with teachers. And that's an effort. So it's going to be a commitment from the student and a commitment from a teacher. But you're going to revive the Islamic sciences. You're going to revive it. Bow your hands and you get a great reward in that, inshallah. Okay. The title is Jurisprudence of the Prophetic Biography. And it's, that's in UK. Huh? This one. The new version. The new version, mashallah, my teacher and myself and another brother, we spent 2 years correcting the translation and fixing it. So it's a new version too. Yes.
Okay, I'm so sorry. You were talking about the spirituality
part, and you mentioned the woman. Where did that reference come from? It was written by an imam, it's called Al-Hakim. A-L-H-A, bar under the A, K-I-M, in his book on history.
I have a question, and I apologize that this is a little touchy subject. You say about knowledge and getting it from the correct person and having a live person help teach you. Mm-hmm. We know that there are people who call themselves Muslims in the world that are not practicing Islam,
mm-hmm.
and they have scholars that are teaching them.
Mm-hmm. If you, no, that's not, I love open discussion. No, you know how you solve that? By reviving traditional Islamic studies. Because if you have a teacher who's a bad scholar, right, and they do exist, Imam al-Ghazali mentioned them, he's going to be identified within that circle. You follow? Like,
but there's poor people.
I know, that's why we got to play a role. Hamza Yusuf, he said something at Yale. I love that, what he said. They asked him, where is God, or is God dead? Right? And he said, I reversed that question. I asked, where are the people of God? That's serious. What are we doing? If we revive the tradition of Islamic study, the pretender will be wiped out. It's only because we're not doing enough that the pretender is able to continue. I mean, evil is going to exist in the world, but you have a role in forbidding evil. And part of that is rising the tradition. Because you know what they have a saying? They said, "Faqidu shay' la yu'tihi." The one who doesn't have a thing can't give it. So whenever you see like ISIS or Al-Qaeda, right? When you look at their teachers, they don't have this chain of narration. They're cut off. They're broke. But how are you going to know that except that you have teachers with a connected chain that can identify that? That's very important. So I think the revival of traditional Islamic studies with teachers, with reliable books that have, the books have chains too. If you connect this whole system, you solve the problem. It still work, but you can solve that problem. Because I tell you, whenever you have a teacher who is not qualified, when they sit in front of a teacher that's qualified, they'll go just like this. Seriously, it will stop. But you need qualified teachers.
Thank you for watching. Follow us online at safinasociety.org and through the Safina Society YouTube and Instagram channels.